Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of September 30th. We'll start with some local news. Iroquois Memorial Hospital formally welcomes the area to their new facility, the Gilman Clinic. Iroquois Memorial Hospital welcomed the area to their new facility at 720 South Crescent Street in Gilman Tuesday afternoon with a ribbon-cutting ceremony with a number of local folks on hand. The new clinic will be open Monday through Friday and is served by both doctors and a nurse practitioner and welcomes walk-ins and patients of all ages as well as DOT physicals. IMH chose the location because of easy access along a busy highway. Gilman Council to compete for state grant to beautify downtown. The Gilman City Council has voted to seek a state grant which awards up to $2.5 million to communities to improve their downtown areas. Towns which are successful in getting the grants must share 20% of the cost of the project. Gilman applied for one of the grants previously but was not successful, but the grant now requires that engineering be done before submitting the grant application, which the town has done. If successful, the grant would pave the way for new sidewalks, lighting, trees, and benches in the downtown area on Central Street between US 24 and 3rd Street. The sidewalks would be 1 foot wider and parking slots would be drawn at a flatter angle in hopes of making more space on the roadway, since longer vehicles are now parking in the slots uptown. Mayor Rick Thiesfeld said parking would be lost in some areas but gained in other areas, such as the spot on the south side of the post office. Thiesfeld speculated such a project could be 2 years down the road. Mantino has been cited as one town which has benefited from such a grant. A notice on the required public meeting for the project appears in this issue of the Star and is slated for October 14th at City Hall. Norma Klassen is Master School Board Member. Iroquois West School Board Member Norma Klassen of Danforth was honored at the last IW Board meeting when she was presented with a certificate by IW Superintendent Angelo Lekas, which honors her as a Master Board Member. The honor is a program of the Illinois Association of School Boards. Coroner says inmate's death was drug-related. Iroquois County Coroner Bill Cheatham has issued a news release stating that the death of Iroquois County Jail inmate Andre J. Maiden on August 26 was drug-related. Cheatham said that toxicology results indicated the death was due to an overdose of fentanyl and heroin. The investigation is still ongoing by the Illinois State Police and Illinois Department of Corrections. Another inmate at the facility also died that same week, and his death is also under investigation. All IW high schoolers will go every day starting October 13th. When the Iroquois West School Board met September 21st, they settled on a plan for K-8 students to attend classes in the face of the COVID pandemic that is forcing schools to adopt alternative educational methods, but could not settle on a plan for the high school that would allow for social distancing. The IW High School principal, Aaron Smith, said Tuesday the school had just developed a scenario that would allow social distancing and let all the kids attend the school every day starting October 13th, and that the plan would be going out to parents in the next day or so. High school students will be attending classes in person from 8:25 a.m. to 12:55 each day. Lunch will be provided via a sack lunch that students may take home, and teachers will provide office hours in the afternoon. To improve social distancing, non-traditional spaces will be used as classrooms, such as the small gym and the cafeteria. Students who attend the Career Center will be required to be at the school at 7:20 a.m. to catch a bus and have a temperature check. Temperature checks will also be required as students enter the building. Other facets of the plan for high school students are as follows. Students will be issued lockers to be used at the beginning and end of the day, but are not to be used between classes. Students will not dress for PE, but can go outside and unmask. Water fountains will not be used, but students will have access to water bottle refillers. Students will be allowed to bring snacks. Masks are mandatory. As announced last week, the dismissal times for other students are as followed. Pre-K, 12 o'clock, K through 5, 1:45, IW Middle School, 2 p.m. The Iroquois West Booster Club will be holding their second drive-through barbecue Friday while the high school football team practices. The new dates for Old Boys and Girls Reunion is August 12th through 15th, 2021. The next meeting of the Old Boys and Girls Committee will be October 1st at the Garage in Gilman at 7 p.m. Send your news to the Star. We've gone through some old issues recently that have been brought to us, and it's with a little bit of nostalgia that we note that the personal notes which readers used to send to their weekly papers are not as common as they used to be back then. But then again, club news used to be a big item, and as you might note, a number of the service clubs are no longer in existence locally. For example, Rotary, Moose, Oddfellows, and some that still are finding it tough to get members, such as the American Legion posts. People seem to be content to stay home and watch TV or cruise the internet. We would also note that there appear to be more activities for kids than there were back in our day, and youth teams seem to be going all over the country for tournaments, and that takes a lot out of the family schedule, not to mention the wallet. When our kids were active, we felt like we hit every fast food joint in the adjacent three or four counties. We are happy to report the activities of the kids, but we would also like you folks to send us your news and pictures of special events, special birthdays, anniversaries, engagements, awards, weddings, and such. Somewhere along the line, we were given some copies of the Onarga Leader and Review from October of 1926. And the lead story on the front page was the dedication of Ammerman Mortuary, right next to an ad. Also on the front page for Ammerman Brothers, who were selling Blackstone toilet paper, three rolls for 25 cents. Below that, also on the front page, was an ad for the Egyptian Trail Oil Company, which was owned by Edward J. Farr. With everything that's going on regarding the COVID, how do you feel about Halloween? We note that some towns are setting hours for trick-or-treating, which would be on a Saturday this year. Be nice to see something coming off as normal. Also, our apologies to former resident Art Hovick, who sent us a picture of his cacti crop at his home between Ladd and Cherry. Art has some night-blooming Cereus columnar cactus, which he got from a relative near Tucson, and they seem to be thriving. Daughter is born to Wilkin Guerra. Fernando Guerra and Emily Wilkin have announced the birth of their daughter, Elise Marie Wilkin Guerra, on August 12th in Miami, Florida. She weighed 8 pounds 9 ounces and measured 22 inches long. Harold and Sandy Wilkin of Danforth are Elise's maternal grandparents. Elise Guerra's paternal grandparents are Pablo and Mercedes Guerra of Cuernavaca, Mexico. Her parental great-grandparents are Maria Elena Guerra of Mexico City, Mexico and Trinidad, and Maria Dolores Hernandez of Jalapa, Mexico. No Ford Iroquois 4-H Foundation Auction. This is the time of year when the Ford Iroquois 4-H clubs and 4-H Foundation members are usually busy obtaining items for our annual 4-H auction. The Ford Iroquois 4-H Foundation recently made the decision to cancel the auction this year out of respect for our community with the current setback we are in. Without the wonderful bidders, buyers, and donators, the auction would not have been possible the last 10 years. 4-H'ers have attended camps, high school seniors have received scholarships, and 4-H enrollment fees were paid from the proceeds of the past auctions. Thank you for your past support, and we look forward to seeing you at our next auction in November 2021. Ashcombe Go-Getters start new season to conduct food drive. On September 12th, President Nick Hansen called the Ashcombe Go-Getters' first socially distanced meeting to order at 9:30 a.m. COVID precautions were maintained with mandatory temperature checks upon arrival, and the location was moved to the Ashcombe Park to adhere with the social distance requirements. The pledges were led by Nick Hansen. The health and safety report, titled Make Inside Time Count, was read by Haley Behrens. For old business, Krista Hickman reported that 77 quarantine times issues have been emailed to resident homes over the last several months, and has recently been discontinued. Ashcombe Go Getters discount cards will continue to be sold as the club's fundraiser until the October meeting. The focus of new business for the September meeting was the election of new officers. The elected officers are as follows: Dylan Behrens, president; Krista Hickman, vice president; Abby Hansen, recording secretary; Riley Behrens, treasurer; Claire Byerly, reporter; Haley Behrens, corresponding secretary; Alexis Gerdes, scrapbook; Lainey Busson and Ainsley Porter, health and safety; Olivia Porter, recreation team leader; Elizabeth Fatka, Helen Harris, and Bryce Hensler are the recreation team. Enrollment for members should be on 4-H online as of October 1st. Clover Buds and 4-H members closed the meeting by participating in a tie-dye activity. Afterwards, everyone shared dilly bars that were purchased by the club. The next meeting scheduled is Saturday, October 10th at 9:30 a.m. at the Ashcombe Park. During this meeting, the club will be accepting contactless community food donations and cash donations by placing your items in a marked pickup truck for the community food pantry. Ashcombe Go-Getters' goal is to fill the truck during their meeting duration. Please help them make their first contactless food drive a success. The Ashcombe Go-Getters 4-H Club will sponsor a contactless food drive Saturday morning, October 12th. Due to COVID-19, 4-H'ers will not be canvassing the town as in the past. Please place your food items and cash donations in the pickup truck parked at the Village of Ashcombe Park from 9 a.m. to noon. The community food pantry is busy gearing up for the Christmas season. Donations are needed to enhance the lives of approximately 89 needy families in the Central School District. Cash donations are greatly appreciated as they allow food pantry workers to purchase reduced-priced food items directly from the food bank. Go-Getter 4-H'ers invite all community residents to partner with them in this effort and to make their first contactless food drive a success. The Go-Getters have, again, set a goal to fill a truck. All donations will be delivered to the Clifton Community Food Pantry. For more information, you can call 815-383-9891. Again, that number is 815-383-9891 for the Ashcombe Go-Getters 4-H'ers Community Food Drive. IW Cross Country Second at Invite. On Friday, the IW High School Cross Country team ran at the ALAH Invite in Arthur. There were six teams that ran there, and both IW girls and boys teams placed second in their respective races. Samantha Hartke led the way for the Lady Raiders, winning the girls' race with a time of 21.07. Maggie Thorne also had a strong run for the girls, as she was the number two runner for the girls' team and placed fourth with a time of 22.18. The rest of the times and placing for the girls include 10th, Tatum Wilms at 24.32, 11th, Autumn Melgoza at 24.45, 12th, Kayla Hartke at 25.08, 13th, Jasmine Lopez at 25.15. Connor Price led the way for the Running Raider boys, taking second place overall in the boys' race with a time of 16.12. Lucas Alvarez and Ty Pankey also had strong runs to help out the boys' team, placing in times for the boys: Lucas Alvarez 13th at 18.05, Ty Pankey 15th at 18.26, Jacob Coopers at 17th at 18.28, Diego Ochoa 18th at 18.39, Tony Espinoza 19th at 18.51, Ryan Ritzma 24th at 19.19. The Raiders will be running Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Clifton High School for the TVC conference meet. New book arrivals at the Onarga Public Library. Here's a list of the new book arrivals that are available at the Onarga Public Library. The library is open Monday through Wednesday from 12 to 6 p.m., Thursday 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Stop by and check out these great titles. Fiction, One by One by Ruth Ware, Anxious People by Frederick Bachman, The Evening and the Morning by Ken Follett, Whirlwind by Janet Daly, Robert B. Parker's Fool's Paradise by Mike Lupica, The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek by Kim Richardson, Thick as Thieves by Sandra Brown, Royal by Danielle Steele, To Sleep in a Sea of Stars by Christopher Paolini, The Ambassador's Daughter by Pam Genoff, Chaos by Iris Johansson. And nonfiction titles, Murder Thy Neighbor by James Patterson, Inga's War by Svenja O'Donnell, donated by John and Kathy Bankin family, in memory of Sue Layden, Killing Crazy Horse by Bill O'Reilly. Want to vote early? Registered voters may now vote early for the upcoming November 3rd, 2020 general election at the county clerk's office, or request a vote by mail ballot application in which you verify your home address or provide an address to which you would like to have your ballot mailed if different from your residential address. The deadline for receiving completed signed applications by mail is Thursday, October 29th, 2020 at 4:30 p.m. All ballots returned to the county clerk's office by mail, which are postmarked by midnight on November 3rd, are eligible to be counted as long as they are received no later than 14 days after the election. A registered voter is entitled to vote early in person at the county clerk's office until 4:30 p.m. on Monday, November 2nd. For additional information, call the county clerk's office at 815-432-6960. Again, the county clerk's office phone number is 815-432-6960. Iroquois County Sheriff's Police Report. September 23rd, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Joshua Schneider, 33, Peoria, who was wanted on an Iroquois County warrant charging him with aiding and abetting the possession and selling of a stolen vehicle. September 24th, Sheriff's Police arrested Isabel R. Daniels, 19, of Watseka, who was wanted on a Vermilion County warrant. She turned herself in. Sheriff's Police arrested Adam D. Martin, 27, of Chicago, who was wanted on an Iroquois County warrant charging him for failure to appear for escape. And September 25th, Sheriff's Police arrested Kenny G. Pfeiffer, 34, of Onarga, for driving under the influence of alcohol and failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Sheriff's Police arrested Harold E. Alice, 36, St. Anne, who was charged with violating an order of protection after being served. CCHS will be open October 4th. The Crescent City Historical Society will be open 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, October 4th. The CCHS is located in the upstairs of City Hall at 400 Main Street. Those who visit are required to wear a mask and practice social distancing. Gloves are available for those who want to look through books or photo albums. The CCHS is a nonprofit organization. If you have questions about the CCHS, want to inquire about membership, or have items to loan or donate, contact any of the following: Pat Peterson, CCHS President, 815-383-2695. Yvonne Doggett, Vice President, 815-683-2187. Cindy Puffel, Secretary, 815-683-2666. Or members, Jean Heron, 815-683-2650. Or Carolyn Rapp, 815-683-2658. We turn now to the death notices for the week. William Billy Morissette Danforth. William Billy Morissette, 56, of Danforth, passed away September 25th at Prairie View Lutheran Home in Danforth. According to Bill's wishes, he had a private cremation service. There was a memorial at his home in Danforth for close family and friends on Sunday, October 4th. Memorials may be made to his children. And now from Alan Weber, the dubious fare for the fair tax. Disclaimer. I decided to write about the fair tax proposal, which Illinois votes upon November 3rd. Somebody had to. Research was greatly needed on my part for a pretense of a clue before I shot my mouth off. Just the thought of investigating this made my sleep apnea flare up. We've been barraged by confusing ads on television praising the merits, both for and against the tax. Could anyone but a politician be for a tax? It's easy to come to the conclusion if Governor Pritzker is for something, then I'm against it. The man has a lot of audacity doing anything with our tax system, considering his scheme to remove commodes from his neighboring mansion in order to elude $331,000 in taxes. Although in his defense, that is a ridiculous amount of tax to own any home. Being against something because Governor Commodes is for it is probably irrational for something as important as the tax money being siphoned off by the government. Even I wouldn't stoop that low, so I dug deeper. Strike one. Here's some fuzzy logic. By lowering our taxes with the fair tax, Pritzker claims he's going to magically collect $3 billion more in revenue. Currently, Illinois has a 4.95 flat tax on income, constitutionally mandated since 1969. Pritzker would eliminate this tax to implement a graduated tax up to 7.75 for the wealthy, using that tiresome Democratic axiom, the rich don't pay enough taxes. I'm starting to get skeptical. So we pay less tax, but the state rakes in more. What if wealthy people and business owners move to warmer climates and/or take their business across state lines? Our population has declined 5 consecutive years. Where is this extra money to come from if everyone that can moves out? Is Pritzker planning an exit tax? A good sort of source of information about the proposed tax is a nonprofit organization called the Illinois Policy Institute. They don't just complain about Illinois like I do. They actually have a plan to repair Illinois' financial situation in 5 years called Illinois Forward. It can be found at illinoispolicy.org, reports Illinois Forward. Foul ball. According to IPI, Pritzker claims there are 3 ways to close the state's $4.6 billion deficit. 1. A federal COVID bailout, which won't and shouldn't happen under Trump. Why should residents from Arizona, for example, be responsible for Illinois' history of bad government? How many of you want to bail California out? Substantial tax hikes. Why does every Democrat think if only we would give them more money, they will spend it better than us? How have Illinois politicians done so far with spending our money? We're ranked the least tax-friendly state in the country by Kiplinger. What do we have to show for all that tax money? Or there's their standard ominous warning, slash government services. Bureaucrats love to scare us with this rhetoric. As Ronald Reagan stated, the problem is not that people are taxed too little. The problem is that government spends too much. Hey, Pritz, slash them. We'll adjust. Pritzker claims high property taxes are a result of the flat income tax. IPI refutes this, correctly pointing out the culprit is unfunded pension liabilities for schools and municipalities. We're drowning in the interest from that debt. You might want to go back and read that last paragraph again. Strike two. Pritzker is so sure this tax law needs amending, he has pumped $57 million of his own money into marketing it. That sets off all sorts of bells and whistles in my rum-addled noggin. He's worth $3.5 billion and allegedly avoids taxes with various offshore accounts, so why would he spend another pallet of cash to change a tax law that has nothing to do with the bathrooms in his houses? Folks, I'm not a numbers man. I'm a singer in a rock and roll band from Shabance. On a scale of 1 to 10 concerning tax or accounting aptitude, with 10 being expert, I think I rank about 2.5. Investigation on the pros and cons not only made me drowsy, but more jaded. I may have drool on my keyboard, but now clearly understand that retirees will be vulnerable under the new fair tax, regardless of how much politicians tell you otherwise. Economies in other states were hurt by the fair tax because people with money took their money elsewhere. And extra money earmarked for education will go mostly for pensions. Strike three, do you trust any knucklehead in Springfield to do anything that benefits us? What have politicians done but made us an overtaxed laughingstock and plundered this state for 50 years? You think they intend to change now? Might Springfield have ulterior motives again? We Illinoisans may be Chicago's red-headed stepkid, but if we have something in our state constitution protecting us from the goons in Springfield, which includes our current tax rate, it might be in our best interest to stick with it for now. If history is our guide, different tax laws won't be in the best interest of anyone outside Chicago. Hit the bench. The proposal has a bait-and-switch feel to it, folks. We shouldn't change tax laws right now, especially after the unlawful lockdowns for COVID. On Sunday, October 11th, at 12 noon, the annual Fall Antique and Primitive Auction will take place. Available will be primitive woodwares, stoneware, farm toys, advertising signs, antique furniture, gold, silver jewelry, silver coins, glassware, and much more. Consignment auction location is at 207 North Main Street, Clarence, Illinois, 60960. For photos and items, you can go to www.strebeckauctions.com. Brad Strebeck is the auctioneer. Paxton, Illinois, 217-781-4131, or his email is bstrebeck@hotmail.com. That's B-S-T-R-E-B-E-C-K @hotmail.com. The City of Gilman will hold a public hearing on Wednesday, October 14th at 6:45 p.m. at Village Hall, 215 North Central Street, Gilman. In order to provide interested parties an opportunity to express their views on the proposed federal-funded Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program, ITEP, project. Persons with disabilities or non-English-speaking persons who wish to attend the public hearing and need assistance should contact Susan Morris, City Clerk, at 815-265-4213, no later than Friday, October 9th at 5 p.m. Every effort will be made to make reasonable accommodations for these persons. Information related to this project will be available for review prior to the public hearing as of 10/7 at the office, City Hall, 215 North Central Street, Gilman, 815-265-4213, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Interested citizens are invited to provide comments regarding these issues either at the public hearing or by prior written statement. Written comments should be submitted to Susan Morris, City Clerk, no later than 10/8, in order to ensure placement of such comments in the official record of the public hearing proceedings. On or about Friday, October 30th, the City of Gilman intends to apply to the Illinois Department of Transportation for the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program. This program is funded by Section 1122 of MAP 21, which provides for the reservation of funds apportioned to a state under Section 104B of Title 23 to carry out Transportation Alternatives Program. These funds are to be used for a transportation-enhanced project that will include the following activities: proposed streetscape consisting of a full-depth reconstruction of North Central Street from U.S. Route 24 to East 3rd Street, East 2nd Street from North Central Street to the TP&W Railroad tracks, and East Front Street from North Central Street to North Main Street. Improvements include new pavement, curb and gutter, sidewalk, lighting, storm sewer, planters, and other pertinent items. This has been Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week. I hope to read with you again soon.